We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Trevor Lane here for LakersNation.com, your home for everything Lakers. Today on the show, we've got a special guest. It's Lakers forward Cole Swider. Cole, thanks so much for coming on. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me out here in Mexico City with the G League team. So it's definitely different out here, but I'm excited to be on the show. And yeah, man, just grinding through the season.
How is the season treating you? I know that that's a lot of back and forth between the parent club, the Lakers, and the South Bay Lakers, the G League team. How's that been for you?
Yeah, it's been good. I think the toughest part of the season so far is my injury. I had a stress reaction in my right foot that kind of set me out 10 weeks. I thought I was in a good trajectory within the organization, within the top team. Then I kind of had a setback. I had a 10-week setback that kind of held back my, my development within our top team. So coming back, it was tough. I was with the South Bay Lakers for about 3 weeks on a minute restriction, 20-minute restriction, and then got a call up with the Lakers right before Christmas. Went back down. And they got a call up again. It was with the Lakers for about 2 weeks. Got a little taste in the NBA, the Denver game, and then after that, I've just been down. I've been up and down, but it's definitely a roller coaster, man. You know what I mean? You're learning two different systems. Miles Simon, he's our G League coach. He's a great coach, but he runs a different offensive philosophy than Darvin Ham. So going back and forth is a little different, but it's been a great experience so far. The Lakers have treated me great, and I mean, you know how it is covering the Lakers, man. We've lost so many close games this year, so it's definitely been a roller coaster, but it's been a great one.
Yeah, it certainly has, and Lakers fans have lamented how many close games, unfortunately, have not gone their way. You mentioned that the South Bay Lakers have a different offensive system than the Lakers. I didn't realize that was happening this season. In the past, I believe they've tried to mimic each other as much as you can, mimic the system, so it would be a little bit easier as far as moving up and moving down. So that's been particularly difficult, running a different system in the G League than what they're running with the Lakers under Coach Ham?
Yeah, I think the thing that makes it different most of the time is that obviously you have those three superstars, those three anchors of your team, and Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. So they have their suggestions, these things, and that when on our G League team, we can run more offensive sets, if that makes sense, right? Because we don't have those that three-headed monster that we're going to in those late clock situations and everything like that. So I think in terms of being up the Lakers, I've learned a lot more about spacing, playing off those guys, being in the right spot at the right time, knowing when those guys are going to ISO, when I have to cut, when I have to get LeBron the ball, when AD wants his ISO here and there. So I think it's definitely a learning process playing with those three guys because they do have the ball in their hands a lot. Deservedly so. When with South Bay, we're running a lot more sets, and then we're all like just young guys just trying to make it to the league. So it's learning what you can get away with in the G League, what you can get away with in the NBA, because those are two totally different monsters in terms of size and athleticism.
Now, what most fans, when they think of you, they think of the 3-point shooting, right? I mean, we saw it during summer league. We've seen it during stretches here during the season. Is that a challenge, like the shots coming from a different spot, the timing being different, bouncing between the two teams, like in terms of, hey, this is when I need to get this shot off, this is where I'm going to look for this opportunity, things of that nature?
Yeah, I would say the only thing that I say would say is difficult being a shooter is that in South Bay, I kind of get more of a rhythm, right? I'm playing 25 to 35 minutes. I'm getting used to playing with these guys. And when I go up with the Lakers, I mean, I'm just getting ready for whenever my number's called. So I think that's been the most, I think that's the challenging part for any two-way in the NBA. Not only just myself, I think Scotty goes through some of the same things. You just have to be ready when your number's called and try and do the best job that you can to help the team in any way, shape, or form. So, obviously, in summer league, I was able to get into a great rhythm playing the whole entire game, playing with the coaching staff that we have with the Lakers. But in terms of just coming up with the Lakers, I just try and be ready. It's a lot easier said than done because you might only get 3 minutes there, 3 minutes here, 3 minutes here and there. But you just got to be ready for those opportunities and prepare yourself like any other game.
So what's been the biggest challenge for you making the leap from college into the NBA? What's been the biggest challenge as far as adjusting? And obviously bouncing between the G League and the parent club, the Lakers, that's a challenge in and of itself. But what's been the biggest adjustment overall?
I think the game's totally different than it is in college. The spacing's different. The timing's different. I was talking to my friend the other day. He plays at a small Division I school. And I was telling him, I was like, hey, like, we scored 120 points the other night in the G League, but we also took 104 shots. Like, they scored 65 points and they took 54 shots. So it's like the game is just totally different. The amount of possessions you're getting, the shot clock, the spacing. I think the most difficult part for me is just learning how to guard, knowing that my strength and weaknesses of my speed, my lateral speed, and all these things. So I don't think that's a secret. I know I need to get better in that category. I think also just learning how to play with those superstars. That's definitely an adjustment as well. So I think just overall being one of the best players in your college team and is starting from the ground back up. I think it's been a great transition for me. But obviously there's these difficulties, and sitting out for 10 weeks really hurt my rhythm and timing and stuff like that as well.
Right. Yeah, that absolutely is going to set you back. When you're looking at the Lakers right now, and I mean, there's obviously we've got the trade deadline coming up and we'll talk about that in a moment. But when you look at the Lakers right now, what most people say this team needs is shooting. And that is certainly something that you provide. Like I said, that's the skill that most people think of when they think of you. Is that frustrating to any degree that you're saying, hey, I'm a shooter, I'm right here, and you haven't gotten quite the number of opportunities that you would have hoped so far?
I mean, it's not too frustrating for me. I know there's a plan. There's mm-hmm. a method behind the madness. I believe in Coach Ham. I believe in Rob Pelinka. I believe in the mission that they have. Obviously, what I love to be playing out there 20 to 25 minutes a game and shooting a bunch of shots. Yeah, but at the same time, I'm a rookie. I'm new in this league. There's a lot of guys on our team that have youth who are playing in a lot of games. We just traded for Rui and Lonnie and Troy Brown. All these guys who have experience in the league, who know what it is playing with. Like, for example, Troy played with Bradley Beal. So he has an example of playing with a superstar. So. I think for me, it's everyone has their own path. Everyone has their own race that they have to run, and I'm just running. If that's playing the G League, that's great. If that's playing, obviously playing with the parent club is my number one priority. My number one goal is what I've always wanted to play in the NBA. But I think my race is different, and you've seen a lot of these guys, especially these shooters in the NBA: Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, Joe Harris. All these guys who were kind of similar, they played in the G League their first year as well because they need to get adjusted from college. So I think I'm just running my own race, and I believe in Coach Ham and Pelinka and them putting me in a position to be successful.
Well, that's absolutely a great way to look at the situation. Like you said, there have been a number of players who have come up through the G League. The G League has become, you know, over the years and years now that it's been in existence, it's all the way going back to the D League, it's become now something that is more and more of a legitimate feeder system straight into the NBA. And we're seeing more and more players get their opportunities through there and really hone their skills there. What's it take for you to get to that next point? Like, what from where you're at right now, you're on a two-way contract. What do you see that you need to do in order to make that jump to, okay, I'm not a two-way player anymore. I'm an NBA contract guy, full contract. I'm up full-time with the Lakers. What does it take to get from point A to point B?
Well, I think first and foremost is just kind of just getting on the floor and showing that I'm an NBA player, right? It's being able to make shots in those situations and showing that. I think the biggest question mark for me is just defensively, as it is for a lot of these shooters in the NBA that I just mentioned, is can he be on the floor defensively? And I think the G League's been a really great situation for me because I've learned how to use my body, be more physical, get in these situations where I'm uncomfortable guarding some of the best players on the other team in the G League who have a chance of making the NBA. Just putting myself in these uncomfortable situations and really thriving it without the pressure of playing with a LeBron or Anthony Davis or Russell Westbrook and the whole entire world's watching, right? Playing with the Lakers, which we all know is every single day the Lakers are front news, front line news. So I think for me, it's just taking that next step. Obviously, I think just learning the game as well. Like I said, the NBA game is totally different than the college game. So from the spacing to the defense of 3 seconds to the shot clock and everything like that, learning those nuances, being in those game situations, and ultimately just capitalizing on those situations. I think every single player in the NBA has that breakthrough moment. And I think for me, it's just working. And once I get that moment, it's just taking advantage of it.
And especially with that shooting ability, it's it certainly could come in bunches in any given moment if you're able to get on the floor and get up some shots. Speaking of which, we're talking about this last summer about how you had this, you came into college and just you're digging through your stats. You came into college and you were an okay 3-point shooter, but not this incredible marksman. And then you went through a couple of seasons. The next thing you know, you're one of the best shooters in the country. What do you attribute that to? How did you make that leap? And now it's translating to the professional level.
Well, I think I've always been a great shooter. I coming out of high school, I was rated the number one shooter in the country. So I think going into college, the speed really picked up for me, and I wasn't quite ready for the speed.
Gotcha.
I would shoot 85 out of 100 five days a week in 100 threes in college. You know what I mean? Like being my freshman year, and then I would shoot 28% from three. So
yeah.
I think knowing when to take the right shots, being disciplined in my shot, like because shooting in practice is totally different than shooting in a game. So I think like the rhythm, like being able to play a lot, like the more and more comfortable you get and the older that you get, you kind of stick to your principles of shooting. So like I said, I've always been a great shooter. That's something I pride myself on. But it is work. It is getting in the gym extra. It is getting a certain amount of shots up. There was a great quote by J.J. Redick the other day. He was on the Knuckleheads podcast. He was just talking about his schedule that he had every single offseason. Like that's, as a shooter, you need to be maniacal in how you attack your craft. It's really like not being the fastest guy, not being the most athletic guy. Like that's how I'm going to make my money, my career in the NBA. So what can I do to enhance that? And what can I do to help other parts of my game to help show that? Right. So I would just attribute those progressions each and every year, because I did shoot a better percentage each and every year of college, just to the work and the experience.
And it was more than just you switched up your shooting form or something like that. It was more just adjusting to the speed of the college game that allowed your percentages to steadily improve. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And just getting used to the rhythm. I think my last year at Syracuse, I mean, I've talked about this before. My last year at Syracuse, I started out like 3 for 25 from three. And it was my first time I was really playing a lot of minutes. I was averaging like 32 minutes a game in college my last year in Syracuse. And then I as a shooter, you go through the ups and downs of shooting. In my freshman year, I didn't get that opportunity to kind of work through those misses. You know what I mean? I'll go 0-for-2, 0-for-3, 1-for-4, and then I'll be out of the game. So I think that last year, the year before that, I was able to work through those misses and kind of grind through the season and get up to the 40, 41%, 42% that naturally that what I am as a shooter.
Well, now you've got this, you know, this reputation as a shooter. And I've got to ask you, so Lakers fans, and I know a lot of fans do this, but we do this thing where guys get nicknames. Do you have a particular nickname that you prefer? I'm sure you've seen a few of them that have been out there. The ones that we've seen tossed around the most have been Cole Sniper and the Amazing Swiderman. do you have a particular nickname that is like the official Cole Swider nickname?
Man, I don't. I'm looking for one. People like putting the three as the E in Swider.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
People like that as well. In college, there was a radio show that named me as Cole Swagger, and then
I like it.
Cole Swagger, and then every single time I hit a shot at Syracuse, they said, and then that's another Swider Swish. So I've had a bunch of different nicknames, but I mean anything that has to involve a three or swishing a shot, I like that nickname.
All right, I like that, the Swider Swish. You get a little alliteration going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Good one. Let's talk about the Lakers and where they're at right now. Obviously, I mean, it feels like the games are getting more and more important as we get later and later into the season. Got to make that push into the playoffs soon. What's the feeling like just kind of around the team when you've been up there with them? Still optimism? Is there any kind of nervousness that's seeping in at this point? You know, the clock is certainly ticking to move up in the standings.
Well, I think there's been a great amount of optimism. I think the way we started the season out, 2-10, I think that was a time where the team was, like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think since then, if you look at the team, what is that, 21-17 since that mark? We're 23-27 right now. I think we've kind of came into form. We've won a lot of games without AD and without LeBron, and we've kind of came into this form. So I think right now it's just the end of the season push, just trying to figure this out. And when you look at the games, we've competed with all the best teams and beating the Nuggets and beating some really good teams in the NBA. So I think for us, it's all about just taking that next step and winning some of these close games. Obviously, the other night in Boston was a tough one, and
yeah,
Mavericks and the Sixers and Charlotte and before Christmas and all these close games, the Pacers, and Nembhard hits a three. So I think when you look at our season in entirety, we've played some pretty good basketball, and now it's just.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
LeBron talked about at the beginning of the season, like, we haven't had a consistent lineup finishing games. And some teams have closing lineups, and some teams have different ways to finish games, and they know which guy's going to do what in these situations. I think we're starting to find that unit. At least we're getting closer to it. And I think now with AD back, is the mindset's just the end of the year push.
What's your take on that Boston game? Lakers fans are still irate over what happened there. Clearly a mistake by the official to not call the foul there on Tatum on LeBron's drive. What's your take on that situation, and how do you, like, overcoming that is not easy mentally to get past that, as you have to slide into overtime right after that play. What were your thoughts on that situation?
Well, I think it's been a buildup of all these games just coming down to the wire. You know what I mean? Yeah. You talk about the Mavericks game losing in overtime, and the referees come out and say that was a foul, and Kendrick Nunn getting fouled at the end of the game against Sacramento. Oh, yeah, that's a foul. Russell Westbrook getting grabbed on the wrist against Philly. Oh, that's a fight. Like, I think it's been a buildup of all these close losses. And clearly it was a foul, and the NBA came out and said it was a foul at the end of the Celtics game. But I think for LeBron, he's probably one of the most composed superstars there's ever been. And the amount of scrutiny that he gets, and for him not to lash out ever like that, I think it just shows the amount of frustration that we've had in these close losses, because we've had so many of those losses. And the feeling in the locker room every single time is just – wow, because you play well, you play really well against a championship team, and we had two games against Boston like this that we lost. So you play really well against a championship team, you do everything you can to put yourself in a position to win, then you lose those close games. I think it's been tough, and I think that's why you kind of saw the reaction that you saw. And obviously, even if it was a one-off, you might have saw that reaction, but it's been the entirety of the season that kind of led into that reaction, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I've seen LeBron taking flack of, you know, for people about how he reacted, how he responded in that situation. But again, it wasn't just the one moment. It was the accumulation of now multiple times where we've seen that or something similar to that take place. I think it was that frustration that was coming out at that time. Cole, we've got the trade deadline coming up on February 9th. This is your first time going through the trade deadline. Is Has that been something that's been on your mind at all? What's been your experience like? This is, I mean, news and rumors start going crazy, and they're only going to get crazier as we get closer and closer to that date. How has it been so far for you?
Yeah, I mean, I really put much thought into it. Obviously, being in my situation, you can't get traded being a two-way. Obviously, if they were to convert me and trade me in that aspect, that's different. But I think the toughest part is you create relationships with a lot of these guys on the team, and they could be gone, right? So, and that's something you don't have to deal with in college, right? So, like, in college, you don't have to deal with potentially getting released or potentially getting traded. So I think that's kind of the adjustment that I've made. I mean, I was really good friends with Kendrick Nunn. He was great to me, kind of being like that veteran voice for me. He was there all fall working out with us. He was there, obviously, training camp. And he was playing the low-minute runs with us and everything like that. So I got close to Kendrick Nunn. And then he leaves, and then Rui comes in. Rui's a great addition as well. He's a great guy. So I think it's tough because you do create those relationships, and those are actual human relationships that you create. But at the end of the day, you have to realize when you get to the NBA, it is a business. And the ultimate goal for our team and for all teams around the league is to end up winning a championship. And if that's what the organization thinks is going to help us get close to that goal, I mean, you have to kind of fall in line with what the organization feels in those moments.
Do you have a veteran on the team? We hear all the time about rookie players who come in and they've got their one guy that they're kind of attached to on the team that becomes their kind of mentor for the season. Do you have that on this team?
I wouldn't say one in particular guy. I think a lot of these young guys spent a lot of time together in August and September working out together, from Thomas Bryant to Austin Reeves to Lonnie to Troy. And then when we got into training camp, Russ, Bron, and AD have all been great to us. You know what I mean? Talking to us, making sure that we feel good. I had a quote in my last podcast that when I had Max on, we were playing against the Mavericks. I let up a three against Luka. Max kind of let up the same exact three to Luka like four or five plays later. And LeBron could have yelled at us and been really upset and like, screw these guys. Like, these guys don't want to play. But he was like, no, like, rookies, you guys are playing, like, very hard. You guys are playing hard as shit. That's what he said. You guys are playing hard as shit. You guys got to know the scouting report. So, like, he's keeping us involved. You know what I mean? He believes in us my dad always said, if a coach is getting on you, that means he cares about you and he believes in you. And LeBron kind of just kept us engaged, because if he didn't think that we were capable, or if he didn't think we were good enough, then he was just like, all right, Darv, get him out of the game. Like, we don't need these guys. But he's been great in that aspect. And AD's been unbelievable to me and Scotty, especially. Just, I mean, especially when he was hurt and we were on the sideline, we're going up to him and asking him questions. What do you see? What do you think we should be doing? And he's always there for us and making sure that if we get an opportunity, that we're prepared.
Well, that's great to hear. Great to hear, of course. And you're right. If LeBron was saying nothing, that's more of a problem. If he's getting on you and saying, hey, here's what you need to do, here's where you need to correct things and all that, that's a good thing, because that means he's got that investment into you. So that's a great sign. So tell me about the show, the Cole Swider Show, your podcast. What created that? How did that come about? What's going on with that? What's the story?
Yeah, so in college, my friend Patty, who's my co-host, and another one of our teammates, Jimmy Boeheim, we had this running joke that we were going to start a podcast. Basically, it was just we had a group chat that was like podcast question mark. We talked about names. We talked about just different things we would talk about. We talked about potential guests that we would have on. And then Jimmy actually is overseas in Czech Republic now, playing overseas. So it kind of put a wrench in that idea. So I was sitting in my apartment in August. I worked out from like 8 to 2 p.m. And it was like my second week, 8 a.m. to like 2 p.m. I was in the gym with the Lakers and getting massages and doing everything I could just to like pass the time. And then from 2 p.m. to like midnight, I was just sitting there by myself. I mean, I'll go out to dinner some nights, but I was just like really bored. So I called Patty one day. I was like, hey, Patty, you have time to talk? And he was like, yeah. I was like, yo, you want to do this podcast thing? Because like it would be great to have something else besides just basketball that I can focus on, right? As you know, the emotions of a season, the ups and downs, and everything like that. For me, I take it personal. It's something I'm working on. But this podcast kind of gives me like an outlet to talk to my friends, to talk to different people, to meet, to have relationships, and kind of grow in the game of basketball outside of just playing. So I want to be a sports broadcaster after I'm done playing, if I don't get into coaching. So that was obviously a thing. I majored in communications at Syracuse, which is obviously known as being a really good communication school. So yeah, he reached out to a person that he knew at Syracuse to produce the show. We started producing the show just for fun. We interviewed Buddy Boeheim, who was one of my teammates at Syracuse, Colin Gillespie, Scottie Pippen, Austin Reeves, and after that they Blue Wire reached out to us to potentially partner with us and sponsor our show. So it's been a good ride. We've had some great conversations, and honestly, it's just a little hobby I have on the side. And yeah, Patty's been great. Our producer Adam Lewis, who's a Syracuse student at Newhouse, which is probably the number one. I don't know where you went, but probably the number one communication school in the country. So it's been a great experience so far. We've had a lot of great conversations, and we're just continuing to grow it.
Well, awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. And I tell you this from myself. Yeah, I mean, doing this for a while, it's so addicting, isn't it? Like once you get a show out and you start rolling and you get into a rhythm, it's like, man, you just start thinking, when can I do my next show? This is good. It's a lot of fun getting to do this. And I'm glad you've got that outlet and that other thing that you get to talk about, because like you said, it can be therapeutic. I certainly find that too. By the end of our post-game shows, if the Lakers lose, I feel better after having talked through it as well. So I'm right there with you. Well, hey, congrats on the show and all the success you've had. I know I'm going to be on your show shortly. Yeah. We're gonna do that. That's gonna be a lot of fun. And of course, you know, you're on network with us with Blue Wire, who I can't say enough great things about. So welcome there, and congratulations on all the success you've had on the show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on the podcast, and we're excited to get you on the show very soon.
All right. Well, that sounds great. And Cole, thank you so much for coming on this show. It was great chatting with you. All right, everybody, make sure you are subscribing right here to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, as well as the Lakers Nation podcast feed over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Also, go check out the Cole Swider Show, which you can find anywhere you get podcasts as well, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever. Till next time, everybody. See ya, and stay safe.